are listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian Voice of Brevard.
If you've traveled, you've likely noticed that no matter where you meet God's people in the world, we've all got some family resemblance, don't we? Well, that's because we love the same things and we have the same spirit living inside each of us, God's Spirit, who consistently helps us look more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Today on Through the Bible, Dr. J. Vernon McGee's study takes us through Philippians 2 and explains what it means to be more like Christ. But speaking of traveling the world, our World Prayer Team is traveling on our knees this week, celebrating God's work in our lives. See if you can spot the family resemblance from these listeners who've written to us recently. A listener who hops aboard the Bible bus in his language of Mandarin shares this. God's Word is a wonderful remedy for man. His Word is our comfort in the midst of trials. God's Word is our companion in times of loneliness. God's Word is food for the starved. His Word is balm for injuries, joy in miseries, strength in weakness, weapon in wars, a treasury of truths, the evidence for knowing God Himself, the origin of all wisdom, the foundation for trusting Him, the principle for man to believe, the mirror of his conscience, and the guide for going to heaven. May God's Word light our way. May His Word satisfy the craving of our spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Now, here's a word of gratitude from a listener of our Mongolian program. I live with my husband and two children in a southwestern province of Mongolia. I recently decided I wanted to live as a believer and accepted Jesus Christ into my life. I started to attend a church, and now I feel the power of God and prayer in the lives of my family. But I have struggled to read the Bible. In truth, I found it not very interesting. Last week, my friend gave me a radio and told me about your program. I began to listen every day. It is a good friend when I am lonely. I am very excited now because this program is a great help to me to read and understand the Bible better. I find I cannot wait for the next program to begin. And then our last letter, this is from a listener of our Cantonese program in Hong Kong. My wife and I have been out of work and our 12-year-old son is very ill. I recently have been on many interviews and pray the Lord will provide me with a job. It is easy to get discouraged, so I'm grateful for your programs that fill my mind with God's Word. Please pray the Lord will guard my heart and my mind. Will you also pray that I might receive the good news of a job? May all the glory be to the Lord Jesus. You know, let's do that. Let's pray for this believer in Hong Kong. Let's pray that he might find work and find satisfaction in Christ as well. Let's pray for each other also and for the effectiveness of Through the Bible. Your prayer support, as we've said before, is the most important ministry that you can have with Through the Bible. If you want to find out more about our World Prayer Team and how you can join in this privilege, just visit ttb.org/pray or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now let's pray as we begin our study. Heavenly Father, thank you for your family of Christians throughout the world who support one another and through the Bible and prayer. Thank you for working in us and through us. We ask that your Spirit produces your fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now get ready. We're headed to Philippians 2 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we have been following in this second chapter the pattern of Christian living. And that pattern we have seen is not imitation, but it's impartation of the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. That is, permit the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Now, that fruit is love, joy, peace, and it's long-suffering, and it's humbleness, and that is the thing that characterized the Lord Jesus, humility. And that was the mind that, when he humbled himself, came down from heaven's glory and went to the cross. Now, the mind of God here is to exalt Christ, and therefore there are two things that should characterize the Christian today. And John the Baptist expressed it. He must increase, I must decrease. And if that's not happening in your life, my friend, just very candidly, you are not living for Christ. You are not living the Christian life. And I don't care who you are. You could be a preacher. You could be a Sunday school teacher. You could be a deacon in the church. And believe me, there are a lot of deacons today that need to have him increase and have them decrease. And the less we see of some of us, and the more we see of Christ, it will certainly be better for those that are around us today. Now we saw that Paul had the mind of Christ. He just wanted his life to be a drink offering, poured out on the sacrifice of Christ. And Paul just wanted one thing, that Christ be exalted, and that as that drink offering poured on a red-hot sacrifice, why, it just went up in steam. Paul said that I just want my life to be like that, evaporated, lived out, given for Christ. And then we saw Timothy, a young man, walking in the Roman Empire, and he was like-minded with Paul. So he had the mind of Christ. And now we come today to Epaphroditus. He was the pastor of the church there in Philippi. He was the one that brought the message to Paul, and he's going to be sent back now. And Paul has something nice to say about him. Paul was always saying something complimentary of the local pastor. That is, if it could be said. Paul was not a hypocrite in this, and he didn't go around backslapping. But when a man was standing for God, Paul stood with him, of course. And we find here that he identifies himself with Epaphroditus. He calls him my brother, my companion, my fellow soldier. Now, will you notice that again? Paul says here, verse 25, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. My companion in labor, and he's my brother, and he's my fellow soldier. Paul stood shoulder to shoulder with this man, and this man stood shoulder to shoulder with Paul. Now, for he longed after you all, and he was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. This is almost humorous here. You see, this man, Epaphroditus, he got sick, and word was sent back to the church in Philippi that their own pastor was sick, and he longed for them. Chances are he was homesick, too. And when he heard that the church back there was mourning for him because he was sick, he had a relapse because it hurt him that they were hurt because he was hurt. It's a sort of a vicious cycle here, but may I say it's a good vicious cycle that we have here, and it reveals the marvelous church that was at Philippi. And you can always, I think, judge a church by its relationship and attitude to a pastor who preaches and teaches the Word of God. When a deacon takes me aside and says to me, Dr. McGee, you know we have a fine young man here today. He's preaching and teaching the Word of God. You know, I always feel good. And then when some deacon takes me aside and says, say, how do you get rid of a fella like this? He's too opinionated. He's too dogmatic. He wants to run things. Now I ask, is he preaching and teaching the Word of God? Oh, yes, he does that, but we've had that all along. Well, believe me, that's what had no effect upon that man, that is for sure. And you can generally judge a church by its attitude and relationship to a man who preaches and teaches the Word of God. You can always do that. Just check in, and you'll find that's been true. And when a church begins to reject a man who preaches and teaches the Word of God, the church is doomed, my friend. And that is the death knell of many churches across this land today. You see, the devil has been very clever. He does not now attack the Word of God itself. I gave up a long time ago giving apologetic sermons. The Bible doesn't need defending. The Spirit of God take care of that. In fact, Paul wrote, you can do nothing against the truth. You just let the enemy keep hammering away, and let us keep hammering away, giving out the Word of God. And we don't need to defend the Bible. So the devil today doesn't make his attack on the Bible. He makes his attack upon the man who is preaching and teaching the Word of God. And you find that that's true across this land today. And I do think that I know pretty well the pulse of the conservative churches across this land, as I've been in many of them, and I think this is the real test. So this man Epaphroditus, pastor of the church in Philippi, my, what a wonderful relationship, and it speaks well of the church in Philippi. And we've already seen it was a wonderful church, and they loved Paul also. Now, Paul goes on to say, he says, "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Now, at this point, I want to call attention to something, and I'm going to say something, maybe it's just a little mean, but I want to say it, because many of these people today that believe in the faith healers are friends of mine, and they love the Word of God, and I love it, and they are fine folk. They just don't always agree with me in everything. And, of course, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't think so. But nevertheless, will you notice this? Paul here is in prison in Rome. He has a thorn in the flesh. The Lord Jesus wouldn't remove it. Just wouldn't remove it, but gave him grace to bear. Timothy has stomach trouble. And you'd think Paul was a faith healer, by the way. He was an apostle. And those gifts ended with the apostle. And so Paul, the faith healer, what did he do with Timothy? Pray over him? Pour a little oil on him? No, he told him to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Now he's got a sick young preacher with him. And now Epaphroditus has been with him and almost died. And here you got a faith healing and he's not working. He didn't heal anybody. But he gives all the credit to God. It all came about in a very natural sort of way. They made the matter of prayer, and God heard and answered prayer. And you know why? Because at this late stage, even before the apostles disappeared from the scene, the emphasis is beginning to move back to the great physician. You see, what we're talking about in this epistle is this. He must increase. I must decrease. Now, friends, if I turn out to be a faith healer, I'm somebody. I'm different. Oh, I'm great. But you want to know something? I'm not. Not at all. The Lord Jesus is the great physician. When I first had cancer, oh, I got all number of letters. Go see so-and-so. Go see so-and-so. No, I didn't go see anybody, friends, except a very fine cancer specialist here in Southern California. And then I went to the great physician. And I had an appointment with him, and I told him I wanted to live. Turned my case over to him. And you know, he gets the credit. There's not a faith healer on top side of this earth that can take credit for what God has done for me. Therefore, I say to you, even Paul the Apostle, toward the end of his ministry, is putting no emphasis on that whatsoever. And he's got a young hospital with him, by the way, just a bunch of sick preachers. And he did not exercise a gift that he had. Why? Well, because Paul is beginning to now shift the emphasis where it should be and must be, upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. Now, Paul says, I'm going to send him back to you. Notice verse 28. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice. Paul wanted them to rejoice, not sorrow, and that I may be the less sorrowful. I've been disturbed about the church in Philippi because it's been in mourning instead of rejoicing. Now he says, verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Believe me, the respect that should be shown, the one who is teaching the Word of God, or the one who has an office and a gift that God is using, that gift and that individual should be respected. Not that the individual should receive anything, but the fact that the emphasis today, friends, is on the person of Christ. And therefore, the emphasis moves to the Word of God, which reveals Christ. And the emphasis, therefore, today should be on the book, the Word of God. We have all kinds of meetings today, and I just don't go to them anymore. I was asked to speak at a convention, and they had all sorts of little meetings where they're going to discuss this problem, that problem, and the other problem. And psychology is one of the things, it's had its day, I think. And right now, there is a moving of the Spirit of God upon the Word of God. And a great many people are finding today that psychology was, well, a Pied Piper that led a great many of the shallow saints off into a detour. And a great many of them have followed that and followed other things. My friends, it's the Word of God that reveals Christ. And somebody says, McGee, you certainly are hipped on this. Well, somebody needs to be hipped on it, and I'm perfectly willing to be the one to be hipped on it today. That the emphasis must be upon the Word of God. And if we really believe that, and I take myself aside many times, and I say, oh God, I believe it's your word. Help my unbelief. Help me to rest upon it. Why, I marvel today at some of the letters that we get. Absolutely, I marvel at the letters. I just don't believe God can use this broadcast like that. And you know why? Because I've got unbelief, and I don't believe God as I should believe him. And that is the problem, I dare say, with most of us. Instead of running around to all of these little conventions and these little meetings where we try to solve problems by psychology, and we talk about the drug problem and the hippie problem and the sex problem and the superstar problem and the youth problems and the senior citizen problem, my friend, the problem is that we just don't get back to the Word of God. Now, will you let me finish chapter 2 with verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. The work of Christ, that means this man had the mind of Christ also. Now, I do not know what this does for you, but for me, this sort of sends chills up and down my spine. It makes my hair, you know, feel like it's standing on ends. When I read here, in the first century in the Roman Empire, have you ever read very much about that Roman Empire of the first century? That empire of Caesar Augustus? That empire that moved out and took over the world, and that the law of Rome became supreme everywhere, and that there was no mercy shown anyone, but there was law and order everywhere. Then there went out this little man, Paul the Apostle, and those that were with him and like-minded with him, and they preached a gospel where there was a God of the universe who, through a redemption that he had wrought on a Roman cross, had provided mercy for mankind. I want to tell you, multitudes turned to the Lord Jesus in that day. Now I see walking down the streets of Rome, I see a man that's been in chains. I see a man that's chained to a soldier. His name is Paul the Apostle. What's he doing? Well, he's got the mind of Christ, and he's rejoicing in the Lord. And I see a young preacher, Timothy, fine young man, walking down in that pagan city. You say you can't live for Christ today, my friend. Look at Timothy. He did pretty well. He had the mind of Christ. And then I take a look at Epaphroditus, a faithful pastor, way up yonder in Philippi. It was a Roman colony, but there was this pagan, heathen city, and he has the mind of Christ. And I say to Vernon McGee, let's get out today and have the mind of Christ, and don't offer excuses in these days in which we are living. Now we come to chapter 3, and now we've come to the prize for Christian living. We've had the philosophy of Christian living. For me to live is Christ, to die gain. We have seen the pattern for Christian living. And in that pattern for Christian living, we have seen, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now there's a prize for Christian living, and we're going to see that. Paul said he's going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now what we have here in chapter 3, first of all, we have Paul changed his bookkeeping system here of the past. And we are going to see how he did that. And then we're going to see in verses 10 through 19, Paul changed his purpose for the present. And then Paul changed his hope for the future. And that's important to see. Now, Paul believed that God was going to establish a kingdom on this earth. He never changed from that. But he did see that there was a marvelous, wonderful hope for believers today in Christ, both Jew and Gentile, in the body of believers, that there was coming a day when he would take his own out of the world. This is a very wonderful chapter we're going to look at. Now when we come here to verse 1, in this section where Paul changed his bookkeeping system of the past, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Now, apparently, he was coming to the end of his epistle to the Philippians. You can see it was really going to be a very brief one. And it was a thank you note. And he was now drawing it to an end. And he says, "Finally, my brethren." But the Spirit of God now is going to move him on, because he's only halfway through the epistle. He's only halfway through. And by the way, when your preacher says, "Now in the last place," or "finally, my brethren," and actually he's only halfway through his sermon, don't find fault. He's just really being scriptural, because that's the way Paul did it. "Finally, my brethren," he says, "rejoice in the Lord." My wife reminded me in a conference some time ago where I was speaking, and she said, "You said, now let me say this to you here in the final case, the final analysis, and then I'll be through." And she said, "You weren't through for 15 minutes. You weren't through at all." Well, now my wife can talk to me like that, I guess. At least she does. And I told her I was just being scriptural. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Now you notice that's going to be his final word. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." That's his last word to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. I believe that if Paul was here at this microphone, I think that he would like to just say this word to you, Christian friend, wherever you are. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." That's his message. That's a command, by the way. And we're going to see that in the next chapter when we look at the power for Christian living. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Now, to write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe. In other words, Paul says that it's been no burden to him to write this letter. There was no burden on his heart like there was when he wrote to the Galatians and wrote to the Corinthians, because there were problems in those churches. And Paul says, "Why, this has been a great joy to me. And it's perfectly safe for me to write these things to you." Now he's thought of something else. And we just don't have time today to see what it is. But next time, we're going to see these other things that the Spirit of God says are all important. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, now we understand a little better why Philippians is called the Epistle of Joy. If you want to spend more time in this section of God's Word yourself, why don't you download our app and listen again to this message at ttb.org. And while you're there, be sure to download our Bible Companion for Philippians. It's really a great resource to take you deeper into all that we're studying together. Again, you'll find all these and even more resources for free at ttb.org. Or call 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can answer your questions about this fruitful ministry. Well, you can reach us anytime at 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org. The Bible Bus will be coming round your corner next time. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here holding the doors open as you hop aboard. It'll be so good to be together again.
Jesus came home, unto me my home. Sin had left a crimson stain, it washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.
Listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, praise the Lord. Here we are again on Tuesday morning. I'm Minister Gloria Ross, New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. I pray for all our faith partners and radio listeners to be blessed by the broadcast today. Our church address is, 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church phone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Now, here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. We thank God for this opportunity once again to come into your home, nursing home, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep in mind, we are the church in the city with the city in his heart. We thank God for everybody that's in the business district, in the surrounding areas, that hear what the word of God is saying. So we thank the Lord for that. I want to pray for my faith partners out there and radio listeners, those that have tuned into the broadcast. I want to let you know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and he is blessing. Praise God. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray for our radio listeners. We ask your blessings to be upon them as they be attentive to the word of God. We thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, today, praise God, we want to get into the book of Romans. Praise God. Romans, the church, the epistle that Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Rome. And I want to tell you something today, that this is basically where God's grace manifests itself, because Apostle Paul was the apostle of grace. Amen. To the Gentiles, glory to God, the apostle of grace. What it is that we all should realize, that we are living in grace. Praise God. And many times things that have been said that try to mix law and grace together, but it does not mix, because it's just like water and oil. You cannot mix law and grace. And I keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has said in St. John 1 and verse 17, he said Moses came by way of the law. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth was given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have to focus on the grace of God. Paul, by God, he wrote, and as we look through the epistles of Apostle Paul, praise God, we see grace and more grace. Praise God. Now, I want to tell you today that whatever problems that that you've seen, perhaps in the lives of brothers and sisters or anyone else, think about the grace of God. And what grace is the goodness of God that's given to undeserving people. And what it is that the merit of God, praise God, that's what grace is, the goodness of God that's given to undeserving people. And some folks say, well, it's the grace of God, praise the Lord, that it's God's unmerited favor. Well, it is true, because we don't deserve what we have. And any time we try and earn what we have, then we no longer operating in the grace of God. We're operating on the law. And I want to tell you that God is not pleased with that law, because what is happening is that you cannot do it. If you could, there was no need for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come into this world. Praise God. That's why Apostle Paul said in Romans, in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, that for by grace are you saved. That's what it is. It's not something that you deserve or you can earn. You cannot earn this salvation. You cannot earn anything. It's by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. So Apostle Paul is writing here to the church of Rome, and he's telling them, he said, well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now listen to what he's saying here. Shall we continue in sin? Now, really, if you want to look at what he's talking about, if you go back to Romans 5 and verse 20, and Minister Gloria, we're not going to read that, Romans 5 and verse 20. Praise God. Hallelujah.
It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Praise God. So what shall we say then? Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Rome here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, in the sin nature, that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. God forbid. We are under grace. Praise the Lord. That God forbid. How shall we that are dead to the sin nature? Now that's what he's talking about. The sin nature. The nature that causes you to sin. But I want to tell you, when you are in Christ, you are dead to that sin nature. So he says, well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Say, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to the sin nature, are dead to sin, to live any longer therein? You cannot live in the sin nature if you are in Christ. I want to tell you something today, that the sin nature was the nature that was causing us all, no matter where it is and who you are, to commit sin. And now, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, we are dead to the sin nature, that nature that causes us to sin. And this is why Paul is saying, well, how can we that are dead? We're dead to the sin nature. In other words, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what has taken place is that the sin nature, now he's not talking, not sin itself, because sin is still around. He's talking about a sin nature, the nature that causes you to sin. So you are dead to that sin nature, and you are alive to God. Praise the Lord. You are alive to God, but you're dead to that sin nature. So in other words, the sin nature has, in so many words, been deplugged, should I say. In other words, it has no power over you because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, how shall we that are dead to it, the sin nature, live any longer in it? You can't live in it. You're dead to it. Sin is not dead, but you're dead to the sin nature. You're dead to what causes you to sin. And that is that old that old Adamic nature. My God, my God. So he says here, and Minister Glory, read the third verse there, praise God, because this is something that we as children of God should understand, that when you are in Christ, praise God, it, you have died to the sin nature. You are in Christ. And many times we've looked at things, you cannot have these two natures running at the same time, because you have the Adamic nature and then you have the divine nature. And the divine nature is the nature of God. That's what we have as a child of God. We are in Christ. And it's very important that we understand our position, that we are in Christ. So if you're in Christ, you're doing the things, praise the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and not allowing that old Adamic nature to have control over you, where you are still committing sinful acts. Praise God. That nature is what causes you to do that. So you, as a child of God, are dead to the sin nature. Now, understand what I'm saying, because in this third verse here, it tells us very clear in terms of our position. Praise God. And many people have looked at this third verse and they said, well, this water baptism. Well, that's not what Apostle Paul is saying here to us all, even to the church of Rome there. He's not telling them about water baptism, because water baptism doesn't have the power over sin. The only one that has the power over sin is the one that have defeated sin. He broke the power of sin. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you are in him, now keep in mind, we are talking positionally speaking, yet in Christ, not in a church building, not in things of yourself, but you are in Christ. Praise God. So Minister, read that third verse.
So know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death.
So keep in mind that now. Don't you know this, as Apostle Paul is saying? said, when he said, no, you're not, he's saying, well, don't you know? And this is what you should know. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind, he never said baptized into water. He said baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. You were baptized unto his death. You have died. Died to that old sin nature, and you are alive unto our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, continue to read that.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Good God Almighty. See, this is what it takes. It takes death. It takes death. Because if you are in Christ, you have died to the old sin nature. Now, sin is still around. Sin is still running rampant. But that's not what Paul is telling. He's telling him, well, you're dead. You're dead to the sin nature. In other words, you're dead to what causes you to sin, because you are in Christ. Positionally speaking, spiritually, you are in Christ. You've been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you were baptized unto his death. In other words, the Holy Spirit has placed you in to the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you can't get into the body of Christ any other way. You have to be baptized into the body. Many people come to church and they feel, well, yes, I'm in the body of Christ. But actually, you are in a church building, or maybe you are in an organization. But when the Holy Spirit does this perfect work, he is the one that places you into the body of Christ. The body of Jesus Christ is a spiritual body. It has nothing to do with carnality. It has nothing to do with some building or anything. What it is that you are in Christ. And many people today, they think that they're in Christ, but literally speaking, they're in an organization, because of the Holy Spirit has not baptized you into Jesus Christ. You're not in his body. I want to say that again. If the Holy Spirit has not baptized you into the body of Jesus Christ, and this is what he's saying here. He says, don't you know this? So many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Praise God. And not only that, but you were buried with him. I said you were buried with him. So the old way of life, the old sinful nature that were causing you to sin, listen, you're dead to that. I said you're dead to it. And a lot of people don't realize that. You can't walk in those two natures. It's either one or the other. So if you're in Christ, you are dead to the old nature. Listen to what I'm saying. To that old Adamic nature. Praise God. Hallelujah. Minister Glory, continue to read that.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
We walketh in the newness of life. Praise God. Because we died with Jesus. Praise God. We were baptized into his body, which is a spiritual body. We were buried with him. Praise God. And we were resurrected with him. Praise God. We were raised up with Jesus. Oh, I tell you, a lot of religious folks don't really understand this. And this is what was happening, because Apostle Paul had to make this known unto them. Glory to God, that if you are in Christ, and I'm talking about spiritually and positionally speaking, if you are in Christ. Now, I'm not adding anything to it. All I'm doing is elaborating. Maybe not to the fullest extent, but I am elaborating concerning the death and the burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you are in him, you've died with him. Praise God. Can't get any other way, because the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead, will baptize you into the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And when he was raised, Glory to God. When he's resurrected, you will be resurrected with him.
Amen.
Because your resurrection is his resurrection. Or his resurrection is our resurrection.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. So continue to read, Minister.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Now listen to what Minister Glory is saying here. If you were planted together with him in the likeness of his what?
Death.
Of his death, you shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
Praise God. His resurrection is our resurrection.
Praise God.
And these are the things that we should know as a child of God, that it's not so much about being in a building or populating a building with people. It's good to have numbers. Numerics plays an important part for the survival of a fellowship. But I want to tell you today that being in a fellowship, not knowing who you are and what has taken place, listen, it begs for a description. You should know that positionally speaking, that you are in Christ. You can be in the building, but be in Christ. Glory to God, and understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Minister Gloria, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has placed folks into his body.
Amen.
Amen. Into his body. Now, Paul, not only was Apostle Paul, not only was making notice of it to the Church of Rome, but he also explained things to the Church of Corinth. Praise God. What happened is that he said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, he said, for by one Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, that we've all been baptized into one body. That's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we be Jew or Gentile or Greek, and we've been all made to drink of one Spirit. That's the Spirit of the living God. Praise the name of Jesus. And I tell you today that we have to consider our position. It's good to be in a building. It's good to be in a fellowship. But it's good to be in an organization. But the most important thing is Apostle Paul is writing to the Church of Rome. And he's telling them, you have died with the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall you continue in the old way of life when you have been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you? You can't. If you truly been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Minister Glory, Apostle Paul, when he was explaining this thing, he wasn't trying to condemn anyone. What it is that he was just explaining that the old sinful nature,
right,
that when you are in Christ, you are dead to the sin nature. Mm-hmm. Now, he spoke about the sin nature all through here until like around somewhere around the 16th verse there. Then he talks about acts of sins. But the whole idea is that you are dead. The old Adamic nature is what causes us to commit sin.
Right.
But when we realize who we are and what has happened to us, praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that he's placed us into the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we no longer allow the sin nature to dominate our lives.
Amen.
We are in Christ. And many people today, they just don't understand that, because they try to say that they're in the body of Christ, and then they try to do the things that old nature will cause them to do.
Mm-hmm.
That old nature been crucified.
Amen.
I want to say that it's been crucified. Many people don't realize that, but it's been crucified. That thing was put to death. Mm-hmm. When you died with the Lord Jesus Christ, and look at Mr. Gordon, he said, through his death, through Jesus Christ's death,
yes,
and his burial, and the resurrection. Yes. Praise God.
It's the gospel.
This is, yes, it is. It's the gospel. Mm-hmm. But Paul is trying to bring this to the Church of Rome. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, when we can focus in terms of what Jesus has done, praise God, and how we were placed in His body, then we can glorify God.
Praise God.
Because that old nature has been deplugged, so to speak. In other words, it has no power over us as a child of God because we are in Christ.
Amen.
We are in Christ Jesus. We are in the Anointed One.
Praise God.
Praise God. And look at what that is. And this is why he was telling us there in the fourth verse there. He was saying, if you've been planted with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the likeness. See, when you died with him,
mm-hmm.
when you plant something, you bury it, you know? Yeah. We've been planted in the likeness of his what?
Resurrection.
Of his resurrection. We shall what?
Says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
Well, wait a minute. Now, we've been planted together in the likeness of his
resurrection.
Of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And now, this is something that you and I should know. It's very clear. There's no confusion about what the scriptures are saying because the scriptures are clear, crystal clear. Now, in this, what, fifth verse? Yeah?
Sixth verse.
Sixth verse.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us that knowing this.
Amen.
Every time we are to know this, that our old man, I said that our old man, that old Adamic nature, I would like to say old Adam. Because when we died to that
mm-hmm.
by being in Christ. Praise God. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with Christ, with Jesus. See, this is the whole thing is, a lot of folks today, they don't want to die. Mm. They want to try to have it both ways, but it's virtually impossible. Either you are in Christ, walking in the things of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to divinely guide and lead you, or you're trying to walk in that old way of life, and it won't happen. It won't benefit you because, matter of fact, all through the scriptures, Apostle Paul is talking. He's talking about the newness of life. He's talking about that we are in Christ.
Amen.
And I tell you, when you look at the scriptures and what it says here that you are in Christ and you've died to the old way of life, praise God, and you are to know this, that old man was crucified at Calvary. Praise God, crucified at Calvary. Where was Jesus crucified? He was crucified at Calvary.
Yes.
So he took that old man there with him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing this. So, Minister of Glory, read that.
Knowing this.
Verse of scripture again.
Old man is crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Praise God. Praise God. That we should not serve sin. Because the old man, the nature that was causing all of us to sin has been put to death. I want to say it has been put to death. When something is crucified, it's put to death. Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. So he was put to death there in the natural. You can't kill God. I said you cannot kill God. But what happened is that it put to death. It was crucified with him that this body of sin might be destroyed. So what did he do? What Jesus did, he broke the power of sin, of the sin nature, where you don't have to allow that nature at this time to dominate your life. He broke the power of sin. That's what he did. He did it at the cross of Calvary. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. You know, this is a very powerful,
mm-hmm.
powerful book that Apostle Paul was writing to the Church of Rome. And grace is And he's letting them know that this is what Jesus did.
Amen.
Grace. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Praise God.
Knowing. And we're to know this each and every minute of the day. When that old nature will try to surface itself, you know that it's been crucified.
Praise God.
With our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
That from this day forward, now he said it, he says, henceforth, mm-hmm. from this day forward, you shall not serve sin. Don't serve it. Don't serve it. It's dead.
It's dead.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. There's so much there in this book of Romans here that gives us greater understanding of the grace of God. But anyway, we want to just offer, extend the divine plan of salvation for you out there in Radio Land with the few seconds that we have left. Not to leave you with a lack of understanding, but to understand that Jesus loves you and he will save you if you come to him. Minister Gloria.
Mm-hmm. But what saith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. Until the next broadcast.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.